And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yo, yo, welcome to a post-game edition of the Forum Club. I'm your host, Yovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And Anthony Davis is back. Anthony Davis played in his first game since February 14th, over 8.5 weeks ago. He missed 30 consecutive games, the largest stretch of his career. And I think all things considered, a impressive and solid debut/return. Debut is probably the wrong word, but it's sort of a debut with Andre Drummond, but more so return for AD. I think he played 16 minutes and 40 seconds in the Lakers 115-110 loss to Dallas in Dallas, and finished with 4 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block, a turnover, 2 of 10 shooting. I think settled a bit for jumpers and had a few shots around the rim that he normally finishes. But again, all things considered, a solid return from AD. I don't know what else we could have really expected realistically from him. I thought defensively he made some really good plays. He had the steal where it's a Luka Doncic and Dwight Powell pick and roll, and you have Dennis Schroeder and Andre Drummond involved in the action, and Luka gets the Drummond semi-switch, starts going downhill on him. AD is the help guy in the weak side, and he starts to rotate over towards Luka in case he needs to help Drummond, but he realizes Luka is looking to the corner and is trying to kick the ball to Dorian Finney-Smith, who is AD's man in that left corner. And AD quickly adjusts, you know, shifts his hips, takes a step back, and kind of launches himself almost like a wide receiver trying to make a crazy catch in the end zone, and just effortlessly lifts his arm up. And you forget how big and his wingspan and standing reach and everything, and just sticks his arm up, intercepts the pass, pushes the ball up ahead to Dennis. Dennis then kicks it to KCP, who's streaking down the left side of the floor and gets a layup in transition. And those are the type of defense to offense plays that AD regularly makes that ignites the Lakers fast breaks. That is a fundamental part of Lakers basketball. And it was nice to see that again. It was encouraging to see that. And, you know, he is just such an elite defensive playmaker. And really, you know, I went through the film on Synergy and watched all 16, 40 of his minutes, and it's clear that a smart team like Dallas, who has Luka Doncic, an MVP caliber player, Rick Carlisle, you know, for my money, one of the best coaches in NBA history, and certainly one of the best recent coaches in NBA history, they were gearing their actions completely away from AD. Everything was about, you know, we're gonna run, like, if AD's on the right side, we're running actions on the left side. And you can just see the type of defensive impact he has on just forcing teams to adjust their offensive scheme and really trying to avoid him. And, you know, at worst, or I guess at best for them, he's a help guy where that's still scary, but he's at least not involved in the primary action, where once he's involved, like, he can just wreak havoc with his, you know, just the length and athleticism and frame and anticipation and basketball IQ and just all the things that make him such a special and unique defender. So he has that steal. He has a block on Kristaps Porzingis, which Kristaps Porzingis taking a pull-up jumper and getting that blocked, it's like, how many guys in the league can actually do that? It's a very short list. Like, off the top of my head, it's AD, it's maybe Rudy Gobert, it's maybe Joel Embiid. I don't know, a super engaged Kevin Durant defensively. Like, I don't really know who can make that type of play other than, like, a guy like AD. And, you know, so that was impressive. He also had, I think, on the same play, because he blocked that out of bounds, Luka and KP run a handoff that draws AD onto Luka, and he funnels Luka right into the corner in front of the Mavericks bench. And Dennis Schroeder comes and they basically double him into an air ball corner three-pointer. And again, just another example of, it's not just the steals and the blocks that AD does. It is those smart defensive plays of, where do I funnel a guy? Where do I know the help is going to be? And then when it's a tight quarter situation like that was, that's where his size and length makes a big difference, because it's not like, you know, Luka's shooting over KCP and Dennis in the corner. It's he's shooting over a seven-footer with a massive frame and wingspan. So again, like AD wasn't perfect. He had a couple closeouts where he either was a little bit late or just a little bit, you know, not as crisp in terms of his footwork and closing out and recovering and stuff like that. You know, a couple plays where he was late on rotations and as the help guy, as the weak side guy, not necessarily doing his job, but again, he hasn't played basketball in 8.5 weeks. And I think he is a guy who clearly has a past with injuries, is someone that, you know, there's been questions about his pain tolerance and just sort of his ability to play through stuff. And he's even talked about that and said it's something he's trying to work on and really just get through and, you know, just figure out how to deal with some of that stuff better. So I think just him returning now and going through this process, I think is a positive in and of itself. And I think all things considered, you know, he looked fine. Like he looked like maybe to me, like a 6 out of 10, which I would say a 6 out of 10 right now after, again, you know, almost 9 weeks off is impressive. And this was something that really, it's been 8.5 weeks since he last played, but this is an injury that he's been dealing with for closer to 10 weeks. Because you remember he missed those couple games before he returned for that Memphis game and then the Denver game. So I think defensively, I was more impressed with the defensive side, but offensively had a nice kickout pass to Ben McLemore on the weak side where Dallas doubled over, you know, double teamed him in the on the left block. Sent over some help, really shaded over towards him, and he made the correct read. He found the guy in the right spot. You know, good job from Ben McLemore of, you know, just being ready to shoot and sliding over into AD's, you know, vision and kind of just again being ready. And Ben has probably the quickest trigger on the team, arguably, just in terms of how quickly he can get a shot up. It's probably him versus KCP, but I thought, you know, that was an impressive pass. He had another kick out to Dennis that ended up being a turnover where he just launched it too high. I think if that's a wing size player, that player probably catches it. But you know, Dennis is only 6'1", so AD has to be smarter about that. But I mean, the shot selection was a little bit of some of the stuff that's frustrated us with AD this season, where he's a little too reliant on mid-range jumpers, a little too casual with his post position and getting bumped off the block and hanging out more in the mid post and elbows. And again, he can make those shots. We just saw that in the 2020 postseason where he was deadly with you know that style of play. But I do think ultimately AD is at his best closer to the basket. And when he can you know, just be an elite finisher as a roller, as a guy in the dunker spot, as a guy who can get deep post position, and at that point hit his size and coordination and you know, just frame, like, allows him to finish over basically anybody. You know, it's really hard to stop AD once he gets that deep post position and can just turn and drop step or spin. He had a nice spin move on Dorian Finney-Smith and a finish over him, and then had a few finishes where I thought, you know, there was one he drove on Willie Cauley-Stein and it looked like Cauley-Stein kind of tipped it. He had another one where he drove into like three Mavericks defenders and just kind of flung it up. I thought it was arguably a foul. And that was a big thing in this game where I'm looking at it. Dallas took 36 free throws. The Lakers only took 17. I really think that was, you don't want to say it was a difference in the game, even though, you know, 5-point loss, 19 free throw disparity. It played a factor. And you know, Dallas didn't shoot the ball that well. They actually only made 26 of the 36. So they shot 72% at the line. Lakers were 14 of 17, shot 82%. So it was technically a 12 make difference. But again, 5-point loss, 12 make difference. Like, that was a factor. And the Lakers had several guys. I mean, Dennis fouled out technically. Kuz had 5 fouls. Trez had 5 fouls. Andre had 4 fouls. Like, the foul trouble was an issue for the Lakers. AD actually did not have a foul in his 16-40.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Last thing on the AD return, not debut. I thought the Drummond fit was cleaner than I thought. Defensively, you saw it where I think AD is going to make Andre a better defender just in terms of his ability to erase some of his mistakes and limitations and just act as a do-everything defensive destroyer, which AD is. And I think with Drummond, it almost felt like he had an extra pep in his step tonight. And he had one of his better games as a Laker, 14 points, 19 rebounds, and 3 blocks. And I just felt he was energized out there with AD, and it was almost like I have another guy that's not only on my level, but, you know, above my level. And I it's almost like, you know, trying to impress the popular kid or something where, you know, I just felt there was a little extra oomph from Drummond that we have seen from him. Like, we saw it in the Brooklyn game. We saw it in the beginning of that Milwaukee game. Like, we have seen it in stretches from him. And I know he's been dealing with a toe injury and still adjusting to a new team, a new system, not having LeBron and AD and playing with, you know, frankly, probably a lottery level supporting cast when you don't have LeBron and AD there, right? So there are reasons for some of Drummond's up and down play, but again, I think overall he's been solid. And I thought the fit defensively, it's going to be fine. You know, there are going to be some matchups where I think you do want to shift to AD at the five, and that's still the Lakers' bread and butter. That's still their best lineups are going to be AD at the five. I still think they should close with AD at the five in most matchups, barring a team that goes with like two bigs. But off the top of my head, I can't really, like, Utah. Like if we just go through quickly, right? Utah, you I think you want to go AD at the five. The Clippers, I think you want to go AD at the five. Phoenix, I think you want to go AD at the five. Denver, maybe you could talk me into Drummond or Marc Gasol plus AD, but still, even then, AD at the five. Portland or Dallas, I'm going AD at the five. So, I and at least in the West, I don't really know the matchup that you're not going with AD at the five. I think when you look at the East, Brooklyn, Andre Drummond had, I think, his best game as a Laker against Brooklyn. So maybe that's a matchup you go with Drummond and you just pound them inside. But I'd still probably favor AD at the five, but it's going to just depend on who's available for Brooklyn and sort of how they're playing and have they gone to a smaller group? Have they stuck with a bigger group? Like, what does that look like? Milwaukee, I think it's AD at the five. And then Philly's the one matchup where, okay, Embiid is a beast. He's a monster. It's tough to maybe just put AD on him for 40 minutes a night. And not that AD is necessarily going to play 40 minutes at center, but like even the last like 8 to 10 minutes of a close game, that's where maybe you want Gasol or Drummond out there to match up with Embiid. And that's where you go bigger and you put AD on Tobias Harris or Ben Simmons and use him as a bit of a help guy. Like kind of as we saw in Philly and the way they used him then. But I mean, really most matchups, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 matchups, you're going to go with AD at the five. I think for the stretches, we're going to see Drummond in AD, which is most likely going to be the first halves of the first and third quarters. It worked. Like, it looked fine. Defensively, I thought it was solid. I thought that again, it felt sort of like last season's Lakers, where there was that size and that physical presence, and just they look like a big long team out there, which hasn't always been the case. You know, of course, when Trez is out there, but even when Mark is a different type of defender. He's more of a position defender, and he's really good at that stuff still. But he's not as physically intimidating as Andre Drummond. And I just felt when you had AD and Drummond rotating and hedging on pick and rolls and having that other guy on the weak side and rotating, they're just active and big, and they took up space, and it looked good defensively. Now, offensively, I still have some reservations because, again, I think if you look at even really the spacing with Trez was probably better than the spacing with Drummond, in my opinion, where if you just look at where AD was getting the ball when Drummond was out there versus when, you know, where Trez was, I mean, I felt AD was just floating more out to the perimeter, and it just wasn't, you know, as I said, like it was just sort of some of the issues we've had with him earlier in the season, where it's like, why is he not posting up more? Why is he not getting the ball in deeper position? Why is he taking so many long twos? Like, there was more of that when Drummond was out there than when Trez was out there. So I think for the Lakers, that really is the challenge with the AD Drummond pairing, is just Andre Drummond likes to operate around the rim. You know, he likes to operate on the post. He likes to operate around the elbows and set screens and stuff. And those are a lot of the same areas that AD likes to operate. And AD is, of course, you know, the better player, the better scorer, the better finisher. But you don't want to just simply relegate AD to being a spot-up shooter or a guy who's playing in the mid-post and around, like just inside the three-point line. Like, he can do that stuff. Again, we've seen it at a very high level. He can do that. But I don't think that's the best use of him. And I think you got to mix it up. So I think the Lakers can do a better job. I don't think Dallas necessarily had the defensive personnel to exploit that, where, you know, Dallas is not, you know, they're a better defensive team than they were last year, but they're still not a good defensive team, and they have certain limitations, especially not having a guy like Maxi Kleber in the lineup. So I think this matchup is maybe not the best encapsulation of what it will look like, but I think when they face good defensive teams, there are teams that will just ignore Andre Drummond off the ball. Now, as Drummond said post game, one good thing about that is that he's going to feast on offensive rebounds. And Andre Drummond had 19 rebounds, and six of them were offensive. So, and I think two or three of those came with AD on the floor. And as Drummond was saying, like, you see when we're playing a team, all five defenders are locked in on AD. Like, when AD has the ball, it's all about AD. What's he going to do? Who's he going to attack? And that allows me to crash the offensive glass. And as the best rebounder in the world, which is Drummond's words, not mine, you know, he's going to feast. And I think you saw that. So I think that is one of the benefits. And to Drummond's credit, he was a little bit more in the dunker spot. There was a couple post-ups, but not the way we've seen him used. So I do think he took a step back offensively during the AD stretches, in terms of just, you know, not being as much of a fulcrum and not being as much of a focal point in the offense. And I think that's what has to happen, right? Because when LeBron comes, it's going to be even worse in terms of, you know, just having a more limited role. So I think from that perspective, I thought it was probably a net positive offensively overall. I just also felt that there were times that AD, you know, like the one three-pointer he took was with Drummond on the floor, and just him getting kind of pushed out to the three-point line, I think is a bad habit that he just already has and has kind of dealt with this season. But it's made worse by having a guy like Andre Drummond, who is at his best operating closer to the basket, versus a guy like Marc Gasol, who is fine as a spot-up guy and also a guy who's going to swing the ball and set screens and likes to hang out above the arc, and has done that, you know, in the later parts of his career in Memphis and in Toronto. So I do think that there's going to be some growing pains in that and just figuring that out. It's going to be an adjustment period. But overall, I was really pleased and impressed with AD's performance. I thought it again, went as well as could be expected given the circumstances. And now it's just about building on this, you know, possibly playing more minutes on Saturday. I think finishing better, taking better shots. And, you know, if he plays 20 minutes, I could see a 12-8 performance or something like that, and just him starting to look more like himself. But I think from a macro perspective, and I always like to take things to a macro perspective on this podcast, like, AD's back. He looked fine. I don't think there was really the conditioning needs to get better. It's a little rusty, but I don't think he didn't look like dramatically less athletic or explosive. There was a couple shots around the rim where I think the old AD dunks it or draws a foul or just powers through and finishes it. But besides that, that's normal. Like, let's see what he looks like in game 5. Let's see what he looks like in game 7. This has only been game 1.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I touched on the free throw thing. I will say Dennis Schroeder, 25 points, 13 assists. Frank Vogel said after the game that he felt it was his best game as a Laker. I thought so too. I really didn't have, only took 3 threes, was 9 of 13 from the floor, only took 3 threes, made 2 of them, got to the free throw line 6 times, made 5 of them, only had 4 turnovers, so really good assist to turnover ratio, and fouled out technically, but I thought was very aggressive defensively, took the Luka assignment, really from the opening jump, was pressuring Luka full court, getting into his jersey, did the same thing on Christmas Day. So I think Dennis deserves a kudos and a shout out for his performance, which I think I would agree with Frank in terms of, just Dennis being aggressive, going downhill relentlessly. A couple times he settled for, he loves the mid-range shots, which I have no issue with mid-range shots if you make them at a solid rate. And Dennis can, but just some of the ones he takes, I think sometimes, like, they're the type of shots where he has a lane to the rim and he just settles for the 10-foot shot when he could just get the layup. And there's a couple of those, but for the most part, again, you can't complain with 9 of 13 shooting, 13 assists to 4 turnovers. Like, that was a good, really, really good performance, if not a great performance from Dennis. He kept them in. He had that 10-0 run in the third quarter and had a couple baskets late. Like, Dennis has been playing really, really well, and I think I've been really impressed with him. And then KCP, I mean, just the last few weeks with KCP, last couple weeks, like, he's just been playing at such a high level. Had 29 points, which I'm double checking here. I think that might be his season high. Let's see. Let's try not to get this auto player. Yes, that is KCP's season high. So season high from KCP, which is nice. And yeah, I mean, I just thought it was KCP basketball. It was taking a lot of threes, getting out transition, his wild finishes at the rim. But just an impressive game from the Lakers. They didn't win. And again, they're playing one of the best offenses in the league, a team that has been playing much better as of late, with the exception of their last few games. But overall, Dallas is trending in the right direction. They are making up ground on Portland. They have an MVP candidate in Luka Doncic, probably a back end of the ballot guy, but still a guy that could be in the mix for like that fourth or fifth spot. And, they're solid. They're good. Like, Dallas is, I think they're going to be the sixth seed. I think they're going to pass Portland. And I think they're going to be a tough out for whoever that three seed ends up being. So I don't view this at, this without LeBron and with AD limited, I don't view this as a bad loss. I thought the Lakers had a chance to win this game. I thought Andre Drummond played really well. KCP played really well. Dennis played really well. That's all you can really ask for is your main guys continue to play well and form, I think, some on-court chemistry. And I like that Frank Vogel brought AD in for two stints in the second quarter and tried to play him a lot with the starting group and just to get those guys some reps together. Because, you know, aside from Drummond, who he was playing with for the first time, at least as, you know, as a Laker, he hasn't played with Dennis and even Kuz and KCP like that much this season. You know, he's played with them in the past, but he's just missed so many games. You know, he'd only played in 23 games heading into tonight. So it's really about, I think at this point, just building for the playoffs. It really looks like the Lakers are going to be locked into that 5 seed. I think they have an easy enough schedule down the stretch that I'm not really concerned with the seeding, whether it's 4 or 5, even 6, I think they're fine, but I think they are probably going to stay in that 5 spot and probably play Denver in round 1, unless Denver collapses. But that would probably push the Lakers to 5, or I mean to 4, and maybe get Dallas in that 5 mix. But I think most likely the bracket, at least in the top 5, is going to stay as is. Maybe there's some jockeying there with the Phoenix, Utah, Clipers in the top 3, but most likely Denver, Lakers, and some combination at 4 or 5. And I think that actually bodes pretty well for the Lakers. But final takeaway here is just AD was impressive to me. You know, AD, I don't mind. I thought it was 80 shots. You know, I didn't think he was settling too much. That there was some settling, but that has been kind of an issue for AD all season. So it kind of was in line with what we've seen from him. But I think his shots looked good. They weren't necessarily too flat. It wasn't like his legs were dead. Like, he was still making plays defensively. So that is where we're going to end this podcast. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Jovan Buha. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jovan Buha. That's at JOVANBUHA. If you have not subscribed to this podcast, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, The Athletic, wherever you're listening to this podcast currently. And if you have not subscribed to The Athletic, I don't know what you're doing, but I would appreciate if you did. And if you went to theathletic.com or my Twitter and subscribed off of one of my stories, that would help me out, make me look good. So I will be back. I'm not going to podcast most likely on Saturday. So I will be back early next week for our weekly pod, but also a couple games during the week. But if you have any questions for me, make sure to hit me up on Twitter and I will do my best to respond. Thank you guys so much.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.